Welcome back. We are right in the middle of Talking Trees with John Eisenhower of Integrity Tree Service. We have Colleen in Scottsdale that wants to talk about bottle brush. Mary Lou in Phoenix wants to talk about pruning pecan trees. Margaret in Chandler wants to talk about how to get rid of tree stumps. Jason in Phoenix wants to talk about a cottonwood. And we have one line open left at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. John, in the 7 o'clock hour, we had a lady, Helen, call in that wanted to talk about an addition to her air conditioning service that Integrity Air Conditioning had installed 3 years ago. And they had given her an option to put in this extra filter, and she opted out. But she was calling back and said, you know, I think I want that filter. And so I said, well, we won't be able to take you this hour. Can we call you back at top of the hour? And she said, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. But I want you to know, I heard you, John Eisenhower's coming in. He was out, his crews were out here earlier this week. And every morning now, I open my front door and just look at my trees because they're so beautiful.
I love it. That's great. That's what it's all about. I'm so happy to hear that. That's awesome.
And it was a pruning job, and we're talking pruning tips this and best practices.
Yes, we are. I wanted to talk a little bit about those of you who have small trees. There is a process that I've learned, and I'll try to give it to you in a nutshell. Just like when we do spring cleaning this time of year, you might have a closet or a workshop that's all cluttered, and you want to go inside, and you take out some things that you set aside to give away, a few things you're going to throw away, and then you take the other items and you kind of organize them and put them back in the closet. Trimming of your shrubs and small trees is a lot the same way. We like to encourage you to do first crown cleaning. Crown cleaning is the removal of dead, dying, diseased, broken branches, branches with narrow angles of attachment, rubbing branches, crossing branches, crowded branches, branches that don't have a future in the tree. We want to kind of improve the overall structure first. And sometimes that's all we need to do. And we encourage our workers to go do crown cleaning first. We encourage our homeowners in our workshops to do your crown cleaning first. Get rid of the clutter first. Sometimes then you can see into your shrub, see into your tree a little bit more. You can now appreciate a little bit more of the architecture. And like I said, sometimes that's all you need to do. Now looking, the second step is to maybe do some crown thinning. Are there some areas in the shrub or the tree that are a little heavier, a little denser? You can see that there's accumulations of foliage where there's not an even distribution of the density of the foliage top to bottom, side to side. Then go in and maybe make a few thinning cuts. Thinning cuts are primarily removing smaller branches that are attached to larger branches. Thirdly, we do what's called crown reduction. This is not topping. We'll talk about topping in the next section and why it's bad for your plants. Topping is making a heading cut where you cut at an arbitrary location, usually stimulates a bunch of vigorous growth out of that cut. But a proper crown reduction cut is to reduce the size of a plant by cutting a long, leggy branch that kind of sticks out of the normal shape. You're trying to give a nice, balanced overall size to the tree. Crown reduction is reducing the height or the spread of a tree by cutting those branches back to a lateral branch, a side branch that's at least one-third the diameter of the one you're cutting. I'll say that again. If you have these leggy maverick branches that are kind of hanging out of the normal shape of the plant, follow them back into the interior to a lateral branch that's at least one-third the diameter of the one you're cutting, and cut there rather than just cut it at the perimeter of where you want it to grow. Try to follow it back in a little bit deeper. It hides the cut, and then the plant also pushes its nutrients and water into that side branch and supports it rather than suckering out that vigorous flush of growth out of a heading cut. And also you want to cut back to a lateral branch that's growing in a favorable direction too. Then you can kind of control the shape of the tree from that point forward. Then now the tree is going to support that little lateral branch, and you'll have a beautifully shaped tree. It'll hide the cuts. You won't have any of that witch's broom, that ugly growth that comes out of those heading cuts.
When in doubt, do without. You can always trim it later. You can't ever add the branch back.
That's right. And if you have several laterals to choose from, you can start on the ones further out and work your way back in until you find one that's just right.
Very good. Let's see, who is next? That would be Colleen. Welcome to the broadcast, Colleen.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
You rule. Anyway, there's so much information. I think I'm just going to have you guys come out and take care of it all for me. But anyway, right now our bottle brush are really kind of getting too big. We have like a Zen garden, so everything's kind of, you know, very low and very pruned and that type of thing. And the bottle brush seemed to be too big to me. My fiance is a little hesitant on cutting them back. Shouldn't we cut them back like way down?
Are these bottle brush shrubs or are they bottle brush trees?
Shrubs.
Yeah, you can cut all your, again, shrubs grow to a mature height and spread.
Yeah.
And sometimes if we've put a shrub into the landscape that's getting kind of achieved its landscape purpose and now it's exceeded its landscape purpose, we have that challenge of trying to now kind of manage its size. Unfortunately, if it's growing, you know, beyond where you want it to grow, you're going to have to either do some containment or consider taking it out and replacing it with a shrub that can grow to its full mature height without a lot of heavy pruning. That being said, yes, bottle brush shrubs can be cut back. There is appropriate ways to do that. You don't want to top them off. As I said in the last segment, we have that will stimulate this heavy, vigorous growth out of those pruning cuts. And then you've got a management headache going forward. You need to learn how to make those cuts appropriately back to nice lateral branches. And you can do some pretty significant reduction and still leave the tree looking natural.
Okay, so that means I'm going to have you guys come out and do it. Okay.
I hear you, Colleen. The more time John spends in studio, the more I realize I don't know about anything I'm doing with my trees at home.
Well, we have been holding a lot of pruning workshops over the last month or so. We do this every spring, February, March, and April, and we've just concluded about five workshops over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Just taught a workshop on Thursday with the City of Tempe, a public works department. 50 of their workers came in, and we just gave them some really great tips on how to manage their shrubs and trees. There is one last pruning workshop that's going to be held at the Desert Botanical Garden on Sunday, April 12th. So mark your calendars, go to their website, and get on board. And they have limited seating of about 25 people, but it's a great workshop, and we'll cover a lot of these things and help you be able to take on some of those tasks and not have to hire somebody out to do the work for you.
I took my dad to the one you did at the Desert Botanical Garden. It really does help to see it and to get to do it. You brought in some great big branches for us, and we acted like they were trees, and then we all cut, and then we all critiqued each other's pruning.
Yeah, in the workshop, we'd like to have some...
I flunked, just saying.
No, you guys did great. What we do is we cover all the basic concepts, then I do a demonstration, and then in the last hour we let our students actually have some hands-on practice, and it's a lot of fun.
And you had a second question, Colleen?
Yes, please. We're trying to redo our patio. It's old cement, and we have a pretty good design landscaper person. Like I said, we try and keep it at a Zen look. We really wanted to go with black slate for our patio, and they're recommending shellac. Because they don't think that black slate would be a good idea. And it would be a, like, outdoor patio where we're going to have the furniture on it and all of that kind of stuff. What do you guys think about black slate for a patio?
Boy, Colleen, the first thing that jumps out at me, it's going to be a very, very hot patio.
And very slippery when wet.
Could be depending on the degree of slate, you know, that she goes with. My opinion, Belgard makes a light colored paver that we don't even pour concrete for patios anymore. Everything's a paver. Everything's a Belgard paver. And the only heartburn I had about pavers for a little while is they all came dark. Consequently, they all created a very warm environment. Well, now they've got a light one, a white one, and I wouldn't put anything else down at my house besides that. Slate will be okay out back. It is going to be very, very hot, and for that reason, I would challenge you to reconsider.
I would think, too, it would stay really dusty looking all the time.
I bet.
It could.
It may not get you quite the Zen look, but you'll be a lot happier with it in a few years. Let's bring Mary Lou into the conversation in what sounds like a very mature neighborhood because she says she's got some old pecan trees.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I do. Our pecan trees are very old, and we've never even harvested the pecans. We just rake them up, throw them out. And no time. And but now my cousin wants them, so he picked them. And you'll get like four great ones, and then one looks great, but it's bitter. And so I'm thinking it's because I don't fertilize them. And never have. And so now I want to fertilize them, and I want to know where, or when to do it, and what to do it with.
And who's harvesting? You said it was a brother?
Yeah, just a cousin.
A cousin.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like your cousin should be calling and learning all this, and he's going to be the one harvesting them.
Yeah, he just wants to pick them. Oh, he wants me to pick them up and then drop them off. He's into pecan pies.
Mm-hmm. I can't blame him.
You know, a good basic tree and shrub fertilizer would be good, and there's so many good varieties out there. I would contact Harper's Nursery and ask them for a specific recommendation for nut trees, because there are some in the NPK formula, the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium combinations. Generally, trees like about a 3-to-1-to-1 ratio. And so anything in that kind of bracket is going to be good for a general tree health. But there may be some potassium
It's in there, John. Pull it out. Come on, maybe.
Yeah. The
zinc. I know pecans need a lot of zinc in their fertilizer.
Yeah, and I think the nuts might require some specific nutrients that you might need to request, get a recommendation from one of the nurseries on.
And I would guess because she's in an old pecan, it's probably an irrigated, which is great for the health of the tree.
Yeah. No, that's, if you have an irrigated lot, pecans are awesome. Yes. So,
well, we appreciate the call, Mary Lou. Good luck getting those into a good harvesting condition for your cousin. maybe what you can work out with him is if he's gonna be making a lot of pies, if you're gonna be doing all this work fertilizing them and picking them up and dropping them off, I think I'd at least expect a third of his baking goods at the end. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Is that fair?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. We've got Beth in Tucson that wants to talk to John. We'll also Margaret and Chandler and a line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.